Yeah, I think we are talking about one of the biggest issue of the UK policy innovation system, that the UK has tended to focus on early stages research, so the science superpower, and how much is important to invent things, to innovate. But the real problem is that if you want to like change perception of manufacturing or being a superpower, not only in science but in production, let's say, because then you want to have the benefits that spread throughout the economy, is that you will need to nurture also the stages that happen after the early stages of innovation, right?
Yeah.
So when an innovation or an invention gets out of a lab, what happens?
Hello everyone, and welcome to Advanced Engineering Talks, a podcast created by the Advanced Engineering team. ATalks brings together some of the newest and most innovative minds in engineering and manufacturing to help better the future for our industry. We hope you enjoy the series.
Well, hello and welcome everybody again. It's Jeremy Whittingham here, interviewing on behalf of Advanced Engineering. And once again, I'm delighted to bring you another Advanced Engineering Talks podcast, where innovation never sleeps. Today, I have two guests who are at the cutting edge of manufacturing technology and development, both from the IFM, actually, at Cambridge. They are Gwen Anzalin, a research associate at the IFM, Institute for Manufacturing, at the University of Cambridge. Gwen, welcome. Lovely to have you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And also Jennifer Castaneda Navarrete. Now Jennifer is senior policy analyst at IFM Engage, which is actually part of the knowledge transfer arm of the Institute for Manufacturing, again, University of Cambridge. Jennifer, lovely to see you and to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for the invite. Happy to be here.
Ah, great. Well, welcome to you both. Both of you, Jennifer and Gwen, you've been key players really in putting together a recent report which really wanted to talk about on the perception of manufacturing. I think you put it together with Delilah Ribaudo as well, who I think is the Aston Business School. I know she's not with us at the moment, but that's fine. It's good to talk to you both. Now the report is one of the main outputs of the Interact funded project, and it's called How to Make Manufacturing Charming Again. It is everything everywhere all at once. So before we go particularly onto the report itself and talk about some of the issues and findings and what it is telling us to do about the perception of manufacturing, can I just ask you both to give a little bit of your backgrounds and what you do at the IFM, and also be interesting to see what a little bit more about Interact, because I was a little less familiar with that organization. Perhaps starting with you, Gwen.
Yeah, sure. So I'm an economist here at IFM at the Center for Science, Technology and Innovation Policy, and my background is in development economics. So I've done a master at SOAS, University of London, and then I follow on with a PhD. My passion, I would say, which is also part of this project, is on technology adoption and technology diffusion mechanisms, so how technology spreads into the economy, with the very important distinction that innovation in economics and social term matters only when it spreads out into the broader economy. So this is my main topic of interest. I look at South Africa and other emerging economies, looking at their core manufacturing sectors. And since when I'm here at the IFM, the last year and a half, I've been also looking at the UK and doing some comparative analysis between the UK, the US, Japan, Germany. And so I just a couple of words, then maybe Jennifer can complement on the Interact network. It's a quite interesting network, just to give you like a bit of background. Is a 4.4 million Made Smarter Innovation funded project, and it's a network that aims to bring together economists and social science and social scientists. And I think they're very much focused on the digitalization of the economy and the effort that is needed to digitalize the economy, both on the technology side, on the workforce side. And I think like one of their greatest results is that they are building a community that is starting to speak more to each other. So different people coming from different backgrounds, operation management, economists, social scientists, engineers, So I think this is like a very important effort. And so with Jennifer and Dalila, we put together this proposal, also borrowing from the title from a nice movie that was released last year, just to make it more attractive.
Well, that makes sense, and that sounds great. Jennifer, do you have something to add to that, or also your own background as well?
Yeah, well, I think Wayne covered really well about the Interact project. It's a very interesting network, and they have managed to fund and to promote different projects that are looking from the social science perspective of technology adoption. But as Wayne mentioned, I think it's quite interesting how they are managing to connect different people. So I work as senior policy analyst. I'm also a development economist, and I also identify myself as a feminist economist. And I've been working on the policy side for more than 15 years. For the last 5 years, I have focused especially on industrial and innovation policy. Mm-hmm. And in the unit where I work in IFM Engage, we work on industrial and innovation policy. We work a lot with the UK government and trying to inform their decisions, their policies. And what we do in most of our projects is looking at the different experiences across different countries and trying to bring the best practices. And it's kind of what we also did for this report on perceptions of manufacturing, looking at how were these perceptions in different countries and how they were trying to improve these perceptions.
Yeah, I think that's one of the interesting things I hit me about the report is I'm not sure how many of these sort of studies do a sort of benchmark across several different countries. You don't necessarily always hear that. It's really interesting and useful to see, you know, how the UK might fit within that and what we could learn from some of the others. I mean, actually going on to the report itself, you do actually compare perceptions across seven sort of specific countries that you've selected there, which is the UK, Canada, Germany, Singapore, South Korea, Switzerland, and the US. Is there, I guess it's a fairly obvious selection, really. Are they what you would perceive as the most sort of generally the biggest manufacturing regions of the world, really?
Okay. I think the selection was done together with Interact, so also to better fill the gaps in terms of countries that are more interesting for the UK. I think on the one hand, there is the idea of like selecting and looking at countries that are comparable to the UK in terms of size. But on the other hand, also in terms of countries that are particularly advanced in the advanced manufacturing bit, so that are at the frontier of technological innovation, both in sectors that are similar to the one that the UK has as the main strengths, but also sectors that could become strengths or renew industrial opportunities for the UK. So I think there is a mix of both.
Yeah. And kind of, again, we'll go into a few more of the things that come out of it, but I maybe you should just step back a minute, actually, and ask, this is for either of you, really, is what is the aim of the report and what do you hope will happen from it, you know, ultimately?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, the aim was first to inform the work from Interact because this was a systematic literature review. So it was really to understand how many to what extent this topic has been explored in the past, and then from this moving to the future of work. So this was part of it. But I think in terms of impact, we all suspect that this will inform decisions and initiatives to improve the perceptions of manufacturing. And we know that different organizations are working in this area, but I think this is one of the key messages, and also how important it is to consider how industrial policy influence these perceptions.
Right.
If I can just compliment just one thing.
Yeah, please.
I think the reason an attempt, maybe hidden or not so hidden, to sort of demystifying some concepts that are really strong and have been really strong in the country, from the famous we can live on services to the low importance of manufacturing to the economy. So we actually tried to look at some trends, both on the more economic side, so how manufacturing has been conceived, to the statistics. So we can see that like manufacturing in the UK dropped from 1991, just to give you a figure, was 16.8, and in 2019 it was 9.9%. So there has definitely been a drop. But what has been increasing, and how much of what increased in terms, especially, for example, of knowledge intensive services, depends on manufacturing. So we're trying to demystify some of the things. Yeah. So I guess one of the aim is also maybe to make some of the readers thinking about, maybe this is not what we've been thinking for a long time.
Absolutely. And I think it certainly really does demonstrate that. I mean, I really loved some of the facts in here, and I was going to mention one or two of them here. I like the one, for instance, that in 2001, the British public knew very little about manufacturing and believed the country could grow without it. And then in 2023, so just over 20 years later, 93% of the public believes the manufacturing industry is essential to growth and resilience. So that's a really interesting kind of stat. And the other one was saying about parents, of course, and their children. In the course of just 4 years, from 2018 to 2022, the sort of proportion of parents who would suggest engineering or manufacturing to their children as a career has doubled in just 4 years, to like 40% from 20%. So that's really great to hear. And I think there is this legacy, isn't there, that's being dragged around of, you know, perception in certain tranches of it's not a great career choice, traditionally going back. And you know, maybe some of that comes, I think you mentioned this in the report, from some of the sort of 70s, 80s. And I think, ironically, some of the things that have happened more recently in the last few years have again also helped to accelerate a little bit of a pivot from, you know, with the pandemic and the looking to reshore and have more sustainable, resilient supply chains. And the importance of manufacturing is really starting to sink in. I guess to me it looks like what you say in the report is, you know, you've got almost sort of three drivers, or stakeholders, if you like: the policymakers, government, who haven't been great in necessarily, you know, also pushing up that agenda, the manufacturing companies themselves, and perhaps a more general cultural thing, if you like. And all those things sort of interact with each other. One causes the other and vice versa. Do you think there's one of those areas that would really be the one thing that kicks things off and catalyzes it quicker than the other? I mean, I was thinking about the government, you know, because at the moment, I don't think the UK has a proper industrial strategy.
Yeah, I think maybe when share this thoughts, but obviously the role of the government is quite important. But obviously, is the role of the government guiding and informing about the importance of manufacturing? And I think from the review, we saw that the US has a very similar trajectory in terms of how manufacturing has reduced in yes. importance, but they have also been like making like a lot of emphasis and a lot of efforts to revert that trend. And you find this in the strategies. And I think the UK has been less good in this area, like reverting the trend. I think maybe it's a bit shy still on how how big the industrial policy is in the country. But obviously the role of the companies is also quite important, and understanding how jobs are changing and what people are looking in the jobs is also changing. How they want flexibility, and how there are examples that this is possible in manufacturing, how important it is to make manufacturing more diverse, and how this will attract also younger generations to the sector. I don't know, Wen, if you want to add on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the data you recall from the report are really important, because for the UK, it shows that the opinions, whatever they are not set in stone. They change with different scenarios, different things that happen, the financial crisis and, you know, the pandemic and the war now. So these are, as we also call in the report, there are sort of mega trends that are changing the way in which people look at manufacturing. So just to give you an example, the necessity and the importance to green our economy now will make an engineer working for a wind turbine factory as a contributor to making our world and production system better, greener. So I think these mega trends are slowly shaping in a positive sense, how things are changing. In terms of the three elements that you mentioned, so I do think that policy, the role of policy, government, and like the cultural aspects, don't want to say they're more important, but maybe yes, in the sense that they sort of have the lead. So it's if the cultural bit is not, you know, responding to what companies need or to at the same level, I mean, people respond to what the government does, and there's a sort of mutual influence between policy and like culture, which the cultural element is what people think, right? What people perceive, what do people understand from all the amount of news and stuff that they read. So for like 20 years, especially 20 years, beginning of the 80s towards maybe even like the 2000, let's say up until the financial crisis. Generally, the thought was that it was absolutely fine to outsourcing everything you could because it was the lower value adding bit of manufacturing. But then the financial crisis and global supply chain shocks and came to realize that losing bits of that of the value chain related to manufacturing actually matters for also other types of capabilities that you can have. So I think it's changing.
Like sustainability, as you say, that feeds into that. I was talking to a company the other day for a podcast. You may have heard of them. They're called Batchworks, quite small startup-ish company on circular manufacturing, and they're doing a lot of they were saying a similar thing, you know, and they're doing a lot of stuff within the UK, closing the loop on circular manufacturing and sustainability. And they're an interesting little company. They've only been going since I think 2018, but they and I think they had some Innovate UK funding. They recently they were in last year's Guardian newspaper. They were selected as one of the selections of best designs and designers of 2023. And the CEO of the Design Council had selected them because they produced these really, actually really cool looking children's headphones, totally sustainably. And if they break, everything's replaceable with sustainable materials. And of course, I thought that that's brilliant, because not only are you just, you know, instilling that it's sustainable material sort of repair ethos into children, but you're also educating them on engineering, and they find it interesting and it might get them into the engineering. So I thought this was brilliant. You know, hopefully there might be other ways to do that, because it's been, you know, through my life, it's all been the last 40 years has changed into, you know, things being disposable, you know, and that you can really feel that swinging the other way now. And also I hear that there are quite a few people, you know, of the younger generation who put more value, for instance, on working with a company that has that sustainable set of criteria, as well as also in some cases more than whether they get a car with a job or the money necessarily. So that's a great thing to see. And I think where engineering and manufacturing can really help to bring those people in, which I think what you were touching on there. That's really interesting. Also, so I'm talking a little bit here with a bit of a monologue, but I was talking also to somebody who worked in the space sector, who said, relatively speaking, you know, skills for us at the moment, he said, aren't too much of a worry. I suppose firstly, because they are smaller than some of the others like aerospace, automotive and all these others. But I think they'll be growing, especially in the UK, quite a lot. There's a lot of stuff happening in the space sector and satellites and in orbit manufacturing. And it's actually a really exciting area. And he says that I think he thinks one of the reasons is that people just find it really exciting. And so if there's anything that the other sort of subsectors of advanced manufacturing that we can use, you know, to help infuse people into manufacturing in general, that's quite interesting. I mean, you know, clearing up space debris, manufacturing in space using additive manufacturing in a zero gravity, but it's all really interesting stuff, isn't it? And these are other ways to sort of perhaps, you know, increase perception. But you were also saying, I think, as well, you know, I was talking to a tier one automotive supplier who was saying, you know, we do need more people, not perhaps less of the traditional mechanical engineering side, although we still need them, but we need more software, IT, programming, electrification, advanced materials people, and we need to upskill those people that we have existing. And I mean, do you think, the other thing is a lot of these people often go to, especially on the IT and software side, to financial technology, fintech, which is, I think, pays megabucks or can do. I don't know if that's a challenge for the industry to actually, you know, compete with that to get those best people, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a massive issue. And we kind of go back to something we touch upon in the report, which is how we define things, how we call things. Because just to give you an example, Apple or Siemens, or think about any other, but also, I don't know, the game industry or whatever, they've been calling themselves tech industries, but they are manufacturing. They are manufacturing.
Right, of course they are, yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. So using the term again and sort of bringing the term back, highlighting also the fact that jobs are actually better paid than the average. Yeah, we have some studies that show that engineering jobs are better paid in engineering companies are better paid than other jobs. So there is a matter of attracting certain type of skills. There was an article like some years ago that was looking at all the people that with a PhD in physics or chemistry were actually going to the financial sectors. And what can be done on the industry level, but especially I would say on the policy government level to change perception, to sort of channel people more towards in that direction. Because the financial sector, I mean, is great, but I guess a lot of people like would also go there because sometimes they think it's the only option if you don't want to work, let's say, in academia after the PhD, or that all the rest is poorly paid, while it's not true. So I think there is a big part that we all like academia and like the whole like, ecosystem can play in terms of redefining things and demystifying some of these aspects. I don't know, Jennifer, if you want to comment.
Yeah. I think just to complement that in the report, just thinking about these technologies, we found that if especially children know about these technologies, they are more likely to be interested in having a career in manufacturing. So like providing information about these technologies, and we have found an example from a program in Canada when they have this website and trying to explain different technologies used in manufacturing. And also, as you mentioned, the different roles that are emerging in manufacturing, because not all is about engineering roles or technology roles, there are a diversity of roles within manufacturing. And this is changing just like from design, from research and development to the recycling part as well. So I think there are many things there. And about how manufacturing competes with other industries, I think, obviously the main competitors will be IT and financial, but I know from cases of colleagues that I study with, they went to the financial sector and they didn't find it that fulfilling, and they moved to other sectors. And I think highlighting the importance of manufacturing will be really relevant, and especially for younger generations that are looking at job with purpose. I think that will really help. And for SMEs, obviously it's even more challenging to compete for talent.
It is.
And one side is about this purpose, but also like providing good, like flexible work arrangements that in that sense with the tech companies, they are competing as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that that you mentioned, just, you know, some of the basic words that we use and language as well. I think, Gwen, you mentioned tech and stuff, you know, words like innovation and innovate and tech, you know, invent are perhaps things that need to be more brought out. And so when you talk about government or policymakers, do you think the main, or what would, do you think, sounds to me like one of the main routes for this is through the education system, through government? Is that, do you think that would be the biggest one? And are there some of the countries that you've been comparing across doing a lot better than us? I get the impression, for instance, Germany might be, you know, it's always tended to have seen engineering in a higher kind of kudos than we have in the UK. I don't know whether that's come through as well, the education system there.
I mean, I think, I think we are talking about one of the biggest issue of the UK policy innovation system, that the UK has tended to focus on early stages research. So the science superpower and how much is important to invent things, to innovate. But the real problem is that if you want to like change perception of manufacturing or being a superpower, not only in science, but in production, let's say, because then you want to have the benefits that spread throughout the economy, is that you will need to nurture also the stages that happen after the early stages of innovation, right?
Yeah.
So when an innovation or an invention gets out of a lab, what happens? Yeah. And there is also the roles of engineers, right? I mean, Germany has always given a lot of importance and emphasis on the role of manufacturing. They are the best in adopting certain type of technologies, in using certain type of capital goods. There is one section of the report where we also discuss about the different meanings that manufacturing has in different countries, just as a word. So, for example, we compared the U.S., Japan, and Germany. And so Germany has given a lot of importance about what happens in the commercialization, scaling up, making sure that what has been invented in the country also is scaled up in the country and then manufactured. Yeah. So I think, I don't know, in a certain way, there's more of a recognition of the importance that manufacturing has for a lot of different things, spillovers in the production system, employment, inequality or equality for a better, for a more society. So, I think one issue is that the UK has always been focusing on early stages research, not worrying about what happens and what has to happen to be a real superpower.
Yes, I think you're right. I think that's because UK is sort of so world renowned and world leading, isn't it, in that sort of invention and innovation part of things, and not always so great in the sort of commercialization, isn't it? And you mentioned diversity, obviously, diversity in general is an issue, and also with women in manufacturing generally. I think that was mentioned to some extent in the report, and I noticed that again, the UK, I mean, you know, that there are fewer women significantly than men in all of these countries who are involved in this, but the UK seems to be, I think, about the lowest. Is there anything that the other countries are doing there that that we're not doing so well in the UK, do you think?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in general, I think these countries don't do, as you mentioned, as well. But at least what we found is that the US has many strategies at government level to address these gender disparities. And what we found in general is that even though it is recognized and it is very clear what is the gender gap in manufacturing, in general, industrial and innovation strategies don't address this gap. They may mention it. It may appear in one line in the strategy, and they may mention, there is like less patenting from women, or there is less access to finance. But there is not really a systematic approach to these gaps. Recently, I've been finding that Australia, that actually is even worse, the participation of women in Australia than in the UK. They are working in different areas, and they have even published, one of the regions, published a strategy for women in manufacturing. So I think there is a lot that needs to be done there. And we are working, the IFM and Innovate UK are leading an initiative on women in manufacturing. So it's trying to promote the participation of women in the sector. But I think that there is a lot that can be done in the UK. And as you mentioned, is at the individual level, is from parents not telling girls that this is not a sector for them. And it's very sad. I had an interview 2 years ago for a policy brief I published on women in manufacturing. And it was quite interesting that I was interviewing this managing director from a medium-sized company. And she was telling me that in one of the events that she went to disseminate and promote manufacturing and apprenticeships, she heard from a mom that she was telling her daughter that was not for her. So it's really sad that even in these times, you still find this type of stereotypes. So I think it comes from teachers, from parents, and then from companies. Now there is a lot about changing the culture in manufacturing. And there is evidence on how male-dominated sectors tend to lead to like workers that have higher rates of mental health issues and even higher suicide rates, and both men and women. So I think it's about making manufacturing spaces more inclusive, and that will benefit everyone from all genders, from all really backgrounds and abilities.
And maybe there's I know this happens, but there's a case for doing more case studies of women who've come up through the ranks, you know. I've seen a few.
I just wanted to add that one of the sort of recommendation we put at the end of our report is that we need more data. We need better and more data, and both on the perception of manufacturing, but also on gender. So I think it would be really good to have consistent collection over time, once a year, once every couple of years. Surveys that understand better how do people think about manufacturing, how do people think about working in manufacturing, whether they think that is something for girls or not, because as Jennifer mentioned, it's very much like it seems it's like from 100 years ago, but it's not. It's very much stereotypes that are very present in this time. So we do hope that there's going to be an effort for data collection.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Now that's what. And so who will be doing that? Will that be some of the sort of people that you've I noticed, for instance, you've the report sort of draws from some great organizations who've obviously done some research as well, like Make UK, I think, isn't it? That and also Deloitte. And so it's those sort of organizations that perhaps would still be doing that. But and also yourselves, I guess, the IFM and other organizations like that.
I mean, I think it can be done at different levels. Make UK is definitely like one of the stakeholders, but some of the, you know, government departments could also be like best place to run surveys like that, or even like, you know, places like the Institute for Manufacturing. It requires a stable program and space to have a consistent collection of data. I don't think it's as long as it covers the population in an even way and is done, let's say, every year, a couple of years. I don't think it matters a lot who's doing it.
No, that sounds exactly what we should do to keep monitoring that and you know, see how the trends are going and rising for the better in all of these areas. And do you think that we need to, you know, will a recommendation be that we need to sort of work more with some of those other countries to get ideas from them? And, you know, even though, you know, we may not be globalizing so much in the supply chain, but I should think there's a lot each other can learn, and it would be great for everybody. Is that another initiative to try and do, do you think?
Is yes, I do think that the UK in this is a bit like closed down. It doesn't look what happens outside, so understanding both what works, what doesn't, ways of collecting data. It's very important. There's always a lot to learn. Of course, I mean, countries, places are different with different institutions, with different ecosystems. So you don't copy and paste like what's happening in other places, but there is a lot that can be learned. And the, let's say, the coupling of similar problems, although in different places, is a really a way to understand and to look at some of these issues in a more, I would say, with a more concrete perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we're coming to the end of our time, actually. I guess my final question, and we touched on it before already, is what do you hope are going to be the next steps from the report? Is there a sort of, do you envisage a kind of roadmap of how to sort of move forward with these things? Will you be sort of liaising with certain people in government or manufacturing representative bodies at all? Well, they have been involved anyway, of course. So I guess, is that the next step?
Yeah, I think there are like several lines of work, and it's kind of follow-up of projects that we have been doing. So I think, for example, from the women in manufacturing side, we have this initiative, and we have been working also in generating evidence. And as you mentioned, this year we may focus on the side of what companies are doing to increase diversity. So we will be seeing like more work in that area. And there are all, I mean, when, I don't know if you want to share, but yeah, we work a lot on reviewing practices around the world. So it's part of that understanding what other countries are doing.
I
think it's important to keep on this effort of dissemination. So we are trying to do as many of, you know, workshops, seminars. This podcast is a very great opportunity. And I just wanted to mention for whoever will listen to this podcast that we release as part of the project for people that are bored to read like too many pages, but a video on the perception of manufacturing. It can be found quite easily on YouTube if you type perception of manufacturing.
Oh yes, I saw that. Yes. Yeah.
It's we are proud of that. So I think it's a good way to get the main messages.
Yeah, absolutely. And presumably, if people though do want to download the report, is that available on the IFM website? I think that's where I got my version of it, isn't it?
I think it's both on the IFM website and on the Interact website.
I think it was the Interact Hub website, interact-hub.org. I got it from. So you can have a look at people can have a look at the report there. Okay, well that's great. Thank you both for a really interesting conversation, actually. Gwen Anzoli and Jennifer Castanada Navarrete, co-authors of the recent report, Perceptions of Manufacturing, How to Make Manufacturing Charming Again. So everybody have a look at that. It'd be interesting to see how things progress from the recommendations of that. And you mentioned actually maybe a workshop or some kind of interactive thing. We can always, if you were interested, look at hosting something like that potentially at the Advanced Engineering Show, which is 30th and 31st of October at the NEC this year. So maybe we should keep in touch if you're interested in participating with something, both of you.
Sure. Yes, of course. Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Well, we wish you and all the stakeholders continued success with the impact of this report. And to everybody at home, I thank you. And to listen to more of these podcasts, visit www.advancedengineeringuk.com. Thanks again, everybody. And thanks to Gwen and Jennifer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.